our topic tonight is I Will Give Thee. And this is Solomon's prayer in 2 Chronicles 1, verses 7 to 12. Buddy, would you lead us off with the Lord's Prayer tonight, please?
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us the debts as we forgive their debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is a consideration of prayer tonight, which is a fitting topic for our prayer meeting introduction tonight. So, Dan, would you lead off with hymn number 534, Sweet Hour of Prayer? Amen. Thank you. And as this is Solomon's prayer that is rewarded here tonight, we can apply and learn a number of principles from this passage of Scripture. Dan, would you read 2 Chronicles 1, verses 7 to 12 for us tonight?
In that night did God appear unto Solomon, and said unto him, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, Thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? And God said unto Solomon, Because this was in thine heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet hast asked long life, but hast asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like.
Amen. Thank you. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 instructs the people of God to pray continually. And this means in all of our circumstances. The Apostle Paul often said that he had learned to praise God and to trust God regardless of the condition that he found himself in, whether in richness or in poverty, whether in freedom or in prison. Wherever he found himself, he was able to trust that the Lord's sovereign purpose was at work. And for our date in history, as we commemorate a date, this principle can be seen not just in the wealth and the power of King Solomon, as we shall see here in this passage tonight, but also at the opposite end of the extreme. It was September the 20th, the year 1838, that a young lady in Madagascar fled persecution. And just to set the background of the story, Queen Rana Lova had seized power in 1835 in Madagascar, and she had a hatred of Christianity. First, she outlawed Christianity. She forbid possession of Bibles. She expelled all foreign missionaries. And then she ordered all of the Christian converts of Madagascar to return to their pagan religions. Some did, but many refused. And she began a scourge of persecution which ultimately destroyed half of the population of Madagascar. More than 2.5 million people were killed under her tyrannical reign. And one of the ones who refused to abandon her Christian faith was a young lady by the name of Marie Rerevaveri. And she initially fled into the caves. She and a number of her friends sustained themselves for a brief period of time living in caves and reading scraps of scripture that had been salvaged from Bibles which were destroyed. Eventually she was turned in to the wicked queen by a number of housemaids who had compromised her location. Marie's father was a wealthy pagan member of the queen's court, and he retaliated against the young maids who had turned in his daughter and caused them to be imprisoned. But Marie Rerevaveri had pity on them, and she intervened and had them released. And it was her kindness to those who had turned her in that led two of them to eventually convert to Christianity and risk their own lives in service to Christ. Eventually, she was released from prison, but then she was reincarcerated again, and she was sold into slavery rather than being executed because of the influence of her father. But then, on September 20th, 1838, she met with a former member of the British Missionary Society, and she escaped along with a number of Christians to the mainland, to Mauritania. They subsequently went to England and were encouraged and trained and strengthened in the Christian faith. Marie returned to Mauritania, where she translated the Bible into her native language and also read translated excerpts of the Pilgrim's Progress to the believers from Madagascar who had relocated to Mauritania. She had hoped to return to Madagascar, but she died at age 40 in 1848. But she had prayed continually during her years of suffering and her years of exile that the Lord would bless her service, she said that the servants of God must expect that the world would hate Christians because they hated him. And she prayed that the Lord would sustain her. If it was his will that she die in persecution or in service to him, that he would receive her soul. But if he would spare her, that he would bless her with more years of faithful service. She was submitted to the will of God, whatever happened. And though she died before the end of the evil queen's reign, nevertheless, she received her eternal reward for her faithful service. Queen Ranavalova died in 1861, one of the cruelest tyrants in the history of the world's monarchies. But it's the faithful service of Marie Rarafaveri that we remember here tonight. This passage tonight we've entitled, I Will Give Thee, from 2 Chronicles chapter 1. And if we had read the first couple of verses of this passage, it's a commentary on the faithfulness of King Solomon. He was richly blessed. It even says here, by his God. We have a remembrance of King Solomon as in his later years kind of drifting away and being distracted from the worship of the true God. He had many different pagan wives who split his focus and his attention. But as the book of Ecclesiastes leads us to believe, that he eventually did repent of that, and he came back to a clearer understanding of where he had gone astray, and he was thus reconciled. But here it does clearly say that the Lord blessed Solomon. The Lord was his God. And Solomon here shows a heart of humility, a heart of submission to the will of God, as we see in this prayer. He was greatly strengthened by God. And then, as the temple was built, here we read in verses 3 and 4 that he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on the brazen altar. He was a devout worshiper of the true God. But here in verse 7, the Lord appears to him. He comes to him by night, whether in a dream or a vision. This was oftentimes the way in which God manifested himself to his people and to others. But he appears here to King Solomon at night, and he instructs Solomon to ask what I shall give thee. This is an invitation to prayer. And this is a principle that we too must understand, that we as Christians have an open invitation to bring our prayers before the throne of grace. He desires to hear the petitions of his children. He even wants us to call unto him even as Abba Father. And thus we have a clear invitation from God to express our needs. Though the scripture also reminds us that he knows what we need even before we ask. Nevertheless, he is pleased when we do bring our petitions before him, and that when we seek his wisdom, seek his will, and seek his power to face the challenges or the needs in our lives, he hears and answers prayer. Matthew 7:7 tells us that we have that invitation, that instruction from God to ask, to seek, and to knock. We're to ask humbly, to express our needs and our desires before him, to knock, to be diligent in our prayer. Not to just pray once and assume that he heard it and that he'll answer, but he's delighted when we fervently pray, when we earnestly pray, even continually pray. And that is not an indication of a lack of faith. It's merely our commitment to be dedicated in prayer, to be serious about what we're asking for. And then, as we ask and we seek and we knock, we're told again in Scripture, in Ephesians 3, verse 20, that He's able to provide far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. And here we see that principle played out in 2 Chronicles, verse 1, because Solomon indicates a heart of humility. He indicates a heart of concern and compassion for his people. Because when God tells him to ask, Solomon's response is a praise to God for the way in which he has blessed his father David and how he has now put Solomon in his stead. He's acknowledging that the sovereign purpose of God is what has blessed his father and himself. He's not taking credit for his own intelligence or his own wealth. He's not pointing to his own claim to the throne as a son of David. But he's acknowledging that it's God who did all this. God raised up his father. God blessed David. And God has now raised up Solomon in his stead. And as he acknowledges that divine blessing, he also expresses a very humble attitude, because as he recognizes that it is God who has put him in that position, he also realizes his own frailty, his own humanity. He even says here, who can judge a people so great, which even numbers as the sands of the sea? So he's humbly looking to God for help. And as he is told to ask, here we see what King Solomon asks for. He asks for wisdom and knowledge to rule over these people that God has given him. And then we see the response. God is pleased with Solomon's prayer. He says, you didn't ask for wealth or riches or for honor or even for long life or for victory over your enemies. All those things would have been proper things to ask for in pursuing peace and prosperity for his country. But God was more pleased that he didn't ask for those things. He asked for knowledge and for wisdom, for the understanding to govern the nation, to rule it honestly and equitably, even to rule it faithfully in obedience to God. And then God goes further. He says, because you ask that, you ask for wisdom and knowledge, I will give you. It has been granted. Not in the future, but it has already been given. He tells Solomon that you have been granted knowledge and wisdom to govern my people. And this is an indicator to us that even as there are kings ruling nations or presidents ruling countries, the ultimate authority goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Even as the Lord told Pilate that he would have no power except it were given to him from heaven, from above. So Solomon understood that principle, and he recognized that though he was the king of Israel, that ultimately the nation was God's, that these were his people, that it was his nation. And this then prompted Solomon to desire to be given the ability to rule it well, to govern it faithfully. And God says, because you've asked for wisdom and knowledge, it has been granted unto you, and I will also give you riches and honor far greater than any previous king has ever enjoyed, and far more than any subsequent king will ever have. So again, it's that principle of Ephesians 3:20, that he's able to provide far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge, and yet because of his earnest petition for what God viewed as a proper request, a request according to the will of the Lord, then Solomon also was blessed with far greater benefits than he could even have ever imagined. So this should encourage us as we enter into prayer tonight, that this is God's way of rewarding faithfulness. Solomon was more concerned with the needs of his people and his nation, more concerned with a need to be faithful in obedience to God than he was for his own length of life, for his own wealth and comfort, for his own power. Many kings are so controlled by their desire to remain in control or to micromanage all the events in the people in their kingdom or in their country. But Solomon was desirous of pleasing God, of ruling his people well, of showing forth his humility and his character as he obeyed God. And this is a lesson to us that we ought to approach prayer in the same way. We must come to him, as the Bible says, with a humble and a contrite spirit. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. We must recognize that we don't have all the answers. He promises to answer our prayers, and anything that we ask according to his will, that will be granted. He doesn't promise to give us every whim and every desire, every fancy that we have, but if we pray everything according to his will, then he promises to hear us, and he promises to answer our prayer and to provide far more abundantly than we could ever ask or think. This ought to encourage us to pray, even as, again, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 exhorts us and encourages us, even commands us to pray continually. Pray without ceasing. Mark 14, verse 38 tells us again to watch and to pray, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Sometimes we relegate prayer to the last moments before we drift off to sleep, or a time when we are already tired from a day's activities. But we're to pray without ceasing. We're to recognize that in the flesh we are weak, but we're to surrender to the Spirit, to pursue him, to seek him, and to worship him. And this then is a reminder to us that we must pray according to the direction of the Holy Spirit, not entirely by our own whims or our own fancies, but that we are to seek the will of Christ. He's our mediator. He's the one and for all mediator between God and man. And therefore, as we look to prayer, we must look to this issue in the light of Christ. Even as the hymn 679, which Dan's going to sing, the light of the world is Jesus. Through Christ, we have access to the heavenly throne. And because of the Holy Spirit, which he has sent to be our comforter, to be our teacher, we also then have the encouragement that even when we don't know what to ask for, the Holy Spirit knows, and he delivers our petition to the throne of God. It's received by our great mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus it's made acceptable to the throne of God. Dan, would you sing hymn number 679?
Follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. can see the light of the world is Jesus. He dwellers in darkness, lifts in blinded eyes. The light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at his bidding and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. Is shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, is shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
May the Lord bless thee and keep thee and make his face shine upon thee. And give thee peace. Amen.